Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you haven't been inside an escape or breakout room, you've definitely heard about them.
It's like Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for the bowling ball to come out.
It is like Indiana Jones. Absolutely right.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vidal here, Tommy. We are in the midst of a sweltering heat wave in Melbourne. Temperatures over 30 degrees for a week straight. What better way to cool down than with a nice cold glass of podcast? Joining us, rounding out the trio, it's a man with a real podcast drinking problem.
Yeah, well, speaking of a cool change, here's your third host, Adam Knox here. Cap on backwards, glasses on backwards, sitting backwards on a chair, trying to trick everyone into thinking I'm backwards.
Yeah, political ideology is quite backwards in 2022.
They're just traditional, mate. It's not backwards. You're backwards.
Yeah, you turned around and walked backwards into the future.
Yeah. I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off of me sticks onto you, mate. That's my political ideology. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Oh, you should smile more. Come on, mate. Smile. He's the bloody prime minister. Smile, mate. Fucking assholes.
Google that.
They're all
Google
fucked.
That, any overseas listeners. That's a great story out of this country in the last week.
So stupid.
Hell yeah. Really good.
To be clear, do what you want.
Do what
angry
you want.
Face, justified.
Yeah.
Podcast face, activated. I've got it on right now. And boy, howdy, is this a recording session.
Yep. It's, what is it? We're in like the fourth week of January. We're awaiting some big releases. Pokemon will be out soon. By the time we record tomorrow. Our next episode, yes.
Yep.
And we'll be chatting about it next week. But in the meantime...
It's truly like it comes out on the Switch tomorrow on the same day that I'm getting a flight interstate for the first time in many months, which is very fortuitous. Switch gaming in the absolute mode in which it was intended is absolutely back, baby.
Yeah. It's a shame for all those other people getting on that flight, like their first flight in a long time probably as well. Then they sit next to you playing Pokemon on the Switch and they're like, oh, of course I'm sat next to a baby.
Yeah, that'd be it. It's also...
Flight attendant, crying. Do you have to... You technically have to move me because I'm sitting next to a child, but I'm a single man. I think that's a new law.
Well, you know, it's also going to be great when I catch COVID-19 on that flight and then end up holed up in a Brisbane hotel for a week.
You know, you might
not... I'll have a new Pokemon game with me to sink into.
My girlfriend, they went to and from Brisbane and they didn't get COVID, but hey.
Oh, okay.
I managed to.
The science is in.
Oh, yeah, yes. We should mention, well, we don't have to, but we're recording remotely because Adam has COVID.
I'm feeling a lot better today and I tested positive, but like, you know, only had a few days. I think I got away with a hell of a lot and it wasn't as bad for me as it has been for plenty of other people.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we should say too, we've been doing our, if you go check out our YouTube channel, we've got lots of videos on there. We put up generally about two a week.
Yep.
We were doing a playthrough of Detroit Become Human, which we're trying to save to do in the room. And we've had to pause that because we've been isolating now for pretty much every reason under the sun at this point.
Yes.
Trying to avoid getting COVID, actually having COVID, and then thinking that you have COVID for a week and not actually having it.
Oh, yeah, you did manage to. Yeah, barring like a house arrest for an unrelated crime, we pretty much run the whole gamut of them. I reckon I'm
front
not...
Front door glued shut, that's the next one.
Yeah, next week I'll just have agoraphobia.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I know we're very suspicious. I'm not suspicious, superstitious. You can be superstitious and suspicious. What are you up to, black cat?
Yeah, we're not suspicious.
I don't want to jinx it, but I reckon we'll have a new Detroit video up next week, right? Mm. That's the plan at this stage, yeah?
Yeah,
I think so. Well, we'll have it up for patrons next week,
Yeah,
right?
that's right.
We do it a week in advance for patrons. Hey, that's an incentive to get on the Patreon.
Exactly. Yeah. Knox, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you really did Larry David at big time. You were staying inside because you were worried about getting COVID before a work thing and missing the work thing, and then you got COVID at the work thing. You've never been more Curb Your Enthusiasm in your life. It was perfect.
Honestly, has been the most irritating thing. Just this whole first month of the year wrecked by, like, it's the stupidest thing. Like, not wanting to drive somewhere because you're afraid of cars, and then getting hit when you're a pedestrian. Yes. Yeah. You know what I mean? It felt like that.
Alanis Morissette would have a field day with this scenario. She's doing a redux of the song.
Oh, man. She would be like, you ought to know better. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But you're in the best position now. Like, you've done the ISO. You've had COVID. You've gotten it out of the way. Well. But see, me, I did all that. I got really sick. I isolated. And I didn't even have it. So it's like, now I'm going to have to do this again.
And I don't know if, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's out of the way.
No.
But in the short term at least, you've got those beautiful antibodies going on.
I hope so. They better be working overtime, little fucks.
If I told you you had a beautiful antibody, would you hold it against me and protect me from COVID?
Just for the record, nephew.
For the record, haven't got sick and thought I had COVID. Haven't got COVID yet. I'm dodging between the raindrops. I'm the ultimate COVID ninja at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's only because you don't think it really exists. So it's pretty easy to
how can you
never
catch
contract
something
that you're in complete
denial
of.
It's a media beat up. It's a lie.
That does mean, though, that there's two other members of this podcast who we will be doing remote recordings for the benefit of at some point. Yes. But in the meantime, here we are. We're on that like weird little, you know, when you're driving up a hill and just before, or like a roller coaster, when you get up to just before the top, you can't see anything. It's just all sky.
I've ever been on a roller coaster.
Really?
What?
Not a real big one. Nah, I reckon. Yeah, I don't think so.
Deliberately, or just due to circumstance, like it's never come up, or you've actively chosen not to go on them.
I've been, Tommy and I went to Disney World and I chose not to go on any of the big roller coasters. And
I have personal experience with this. I can vouch for this, Adam. I have been at a Disney World with Ben Vanell, who actively avoided the big scary roller coasters.
Yeah.
But you did go on, you went on the Indiana Jones ride.
Yes, which
I can attest to because I've got a photo of it on my fridge of us. <It's laughs> of us in the little Indiana Jones car.
That photo has been on television.
That's right.
Yeah. And like we did the Tower of Terror. Like it's not I'm not scared of like big drops or anything. I don't know
terror
why.
It's right in the name.
Yeah.
You it couldn't be a lack of bravery if you're willing to go on a terror ride.
I just don't see the appeal of roller coasters.
Oh man. That I reckon if you got on a roller coaster, that would help you understand.
maybe.
They move real quick and that's very fun. And you get a moment right when you're going up towards the top where it's going and taking you up there where the track kind of disappears and so all you can really see before you drop is the sky because you're pointed upwards, there's no more track, you're about to go down and that is where we are in terms of video games coming out. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just about to hit that big drop where like Pokemon comes out tomorrow and then February is fucked.
Yeah.
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 So. Ben, that is strange that you didn't want to go on a true blue roller coaster that day at Disney World just thinking about it because you went on the Indiana Jones ride, which is where you're in a little car, you're on a track, you go around a little circuit and then you went on the Tower of Terror, which is like you go up and it's a big drop.
Mm.
So you essentially over the course of the day, you have done the roller coaster experience but you've just segmented it into two different rides.
Yes.
So you combine those two together. Also, you're saving time.
We
got to get you on a roller coaster in 2022.
I think going around in a little cart on a track, sure. Go up and down fast, but never the twain shall meet.
It goes
against God.
All right.
But do you think that you'll feel sick on a roller coaster or is it like that particular thing seems unsafe to you?
Yes, it seems unsafe to me, yeah. That's the main thing. I can just easily visualize it going wrong.
It's the ride where you can. It's like the Tower of Terror is. It's like, yeah, you're going up, and then this thing is dropping you. That's like right. That's there's so much room for things to go wrong there.
Mm.
But the fact that in the roller coaster you can actually just see, you've got more kind of like visual context for
yes. How
rickety and shit this thing is that you're doing.
Totally,
like you're a bit more aware of like how like yeah.
All those bolts are screwed on so tight though, and they're so big. They look like battleship bolts. And then you can see that the roller coaster is gripping onto the rails like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I agree that I pictured it and it made me laugh that it's easy to imagine a roller coaster just not working and being flung off of it. And that's a very funny image.
Yeah.
And I have seen one video where a roller coaster, it got stuck in like the dip at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like it didn't have enough momentum for whatever reason to go back up the other side.
Yeah.
And then a second cart came towards it and collided,
ooh,
crushing the legs of the front people on the back roller coaster and breaking a couple of backs and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw that video because I recorded it to see if my prank worked. And follow me on TikTok. All the coolest death pranks.
I have the same attitude to flying, except I just will fly. I'm not like,
it's unavoidable,
scared of flying. Yeah. I'm just like, man, if one thing goes wrong, this could drop out of the sky. But I just have flown enough that I'm like, no, it's just like catching a bus now. Nothing will go wrong. I guess I just have to get enough roller coasters to be like, hey, they don't all fly off and kill people.
I used to have to take a roller coaster to school every day. So it's like a bus for me as well.
Yeah.
When I first started comedy, there was a guy who was like really, really scared of flying that I knew. And he would, so if he was doing gigs interstate, like he did the Adelaide Fringe, he got the train there, or he would like drive to Sydney. Mm. And he was like, yeah, I really want to do the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Like I really, really want to do it. But that flight, it just scares the idea of it scares me too much. So I've looked into getting a boat to Edinburgh to do the Fringe.
God.
And it's like, it'd take a few months.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could just like write the show while I'm on the boat heading to Edinburgh. I'm like, this is...
Why do they call them really sea legs? Your legs are made of water. You guys aren't going to have a good time for the next hour because this is all the sort of thing I got. You like octopuses?
But yeah, there is a bit of news coming out this week. There are, yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about it next week, but early word on Pokemon Legends is that it's real good and I'm really looking forward to it. It seems like it's a more of a kind of mainline Pokemon game than what I was expecting.
Mm.
It looked like a kind of a spin-offy kind of thing, but it looks like it's got a lot of those elements of like the progression and the sort of stuff that you're doing is like a sort of a traditional Pokemon game, which seems weird to me. The whole branding of this and the way it's been rolled out, and it's come out not too long after the last mainline one that people criticized for not being adventurous and interesting enough. So yeah, I sort of don't get the strategy of how it's all been rolled out and branded and everything. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it because people seem to be thinking it's really good.
Seeing reviews and stuff say that it seems like they tried to fold the ideas of Pokemon Go into a you know, console Pokemon game. That made the weirdness of it make sense to me, where they're like, oh, it's not a Breath of the Wild thing. They're doing a big world so you can walk around like Pokemon Go to go and get your Pokemon from other places. But we'll have played it by next week.
Yeah.
To give you the final verdict.
Yes.
In the meantime, I've been playing a video game even in a world where Pokemon Legends Arceus doesn't exist. Well, it does, but does where I haven't. I've played a different game.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for expressing that in the clearest way possible.
I wanted to give you a little preview of what the game is about. It's called Escape Simulator, and you're awkwardly trying to piece together bits of information to finally work your way out of something that should be simple, like opening a door.
Mm.
Right.
I've been giving this a crank too. I played the tutorial, and I put in about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes just this morning on literally the first level. But you've given it a good old honking.
I've played everything that's in there and I've gotten into some community levels. I really, really enjoy... Escape Simulator is on the PC, by the way. It's like... I think it's out of early access now, but I can't actually remember if that's true. But it was in early access for a fair while.
Hmm.
And I believe it's now released. And it is a first-person escape room game. You are in a, you know, escape roomy type of setting, like ancient Egypt or like corporate office, but it, maybe it's supervillains and that sort of shit. Weird mansion. And you're looking around the place for like a clock that has a time on it so that you know to use the numbers 3 and 10 in something. You're looking for little pictures. You're looking for clues of how to solve puzzles in this room to unlock the next little door that'll show you a new key and blah, blah, blah. If you've never done an escape room before, they're pretty fun, and the video game versions of them are basically adventure games, but like diluted into pure just the puzzles. And I find that really satisfying and enjoying, and I enjoy it. And this is an all right one.
Yeah, I think like mechanically it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Visually it's fine. It's kind of cute, you know, a bit like sort of rounded off, not cartoony, but not realistic by any means.
I like it. I'm just looking it up here. The character design, it's sort of like a, it looks a bit like a 3D Professor Layton kind of art style.
Sure. It's very like Unity game looking type of thing, you know.
Yes.
There's a lot of games that look like this. And those character designs are important because you can play all of these levels in co-op.
Yes.
Right.
Which, you know, most escape rooms in the real world are designed to be played by multiple people. This one, you can do everything solo. That's what I did, and had a good time going through and kind of whipping through these puzzles. A lot of them aren't difficult, which is probably a good thing because it means that they are logically sound. You can understand what it's asking of you. So that aspect of it, I actually think is probably about right, the difficulty of it, because especially like just online sort of flashy type games, I've played a bunch of escape room sort of games and enjoy
what's
them.
What's your favorite? Which do you think is the best one? Because I've never gone in on one. There's the Room VR. There's I feel like you've in the last few months you've done a bunch of them.
Which all of the Room games are great. Those are probably a good way to sort of ramp up the expectations of you, the player, in just one series as well that a game would have of you. Because that first Room, and they're all available on PC now, I think, and they're on phones and they're all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first one is just sort of a box, and you'll be manipulating this 3D box to look for little levers and flips and switches and stuff like that to open these boxes. And then that series evolves into, now you're in a room, go around this room. Now you're in a whole house. Now you're in a whole big fucking, what's bigger than a house? Two houses.
Nope. Yeah. Crammed together.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
The
casino.
Those are probably like the most high quality version of this you can do as well, because there's a ton of like, there's a website called Tomati, which is tomato but then EA instead of the second O, and that has a ton of just very simple flat escape room type games that I like played a bunch of years ago for some reason. They used to update them regularly, but I don't even know if that website's still active anymore, but they're very popular in like, you know, websites that are like 7,000 games.
Yeah. I remember doing these a lot at like in the computer room at high school, like doing a lot of, everyone would like get around and be like specific ones that like we'd all be like, man, did you get past like the red door? You know, like it was a kind of like a little communal experience.
Right. And they used to be, because before escape rooms were a popular, you know, bullshit Christmas party office pastime.
Yes.
They, you know, these games used to be called, they were just adventure games. It's basically the same exact sort of gameplay that you're doing in a Sam & Max or whatever. They were like called pixel hunt games and stuff like that. This sort of thing's been around for ages. And so Escape Simulator, the big thing for this seems to be that it has Steam Workshop integration and like tools to make your own escape rooms and to share them with the community and to vote on them and all of that stuff. And so after you've done the built-in ones, of which there are like maybe 20-ish, there's like sort of four or five areas, and then each of them has, again, four or five levels maybe to go through.
A little bit more than that maybe, but yeah.
Maybe 30, something like that. But
something like
not
that,
a ton.
I think, yeah.
And I played it for like, I've gotten through them in maybe 4 hours, something like that. Like there's not a ton in there if you're just going through those on your own, but then
sorry, there's exactly 20. You were dead on.
Oh, hell yeah. Brother, that's why I'm good at escape rooms. I throw a guess out there and it happens to be right. The luckiest guy in the world over here. In very important areas. Anything important, the luck runs out. So I haven't tried the co-op yet. I've only done them solo. But then some of those community levels are really cool. There's a lot of trash on there because there always is when you do stuff like that. If you ever played Little Big Planet or like any mod,
if you've had a look famously around at that stuff. Yeah.
Which one? Oh, Dreams, yeah.
Dreams, yeah. Dreams, I was playing like Sonic and just running off the edge of the game.
Yeah, you can get a ton of bullshit on there. But some people have made some really, really clever just straight up escape rooms. And then there's one like subgenre of escape room that I'm really enjoying, which is like these big...
Having COVID?
Huh?
Having COVID?
Get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
He said really got saved, Tommy.
Because we were separate and because we're being recorded over the internet.
Yes.
Zoom was like, you know what? I won't put Adam through hearing this entire sentence. I'll just give him the pit at the end.
I didn't hear it either. I would have been happy to just move on.
I had to double back because I heard a little peep. I heard a little fucking peep out of him.
Yeah,
I
saw a little glint in his eye.
Yep, they call me the peeper. They call me the little peeper.
Well, you're right, Tommy. This has been the hardest escape room of all. It's taken me a week to get out.
Yeah.
Are you happy now? Did you enjoy the payoff to your little joke?
Yeah, the puzzle is just trying to work out how to get only one line on the little rat test. I keep getting two. I can't solve it.
Maybe
what
I
am I doing
shove
wrong?
It up my butt. What's the? there's this like, there's a few different maps. I think being made predominantly by the one person, but they're like Sudoku puzzles laid out as 9 little escape rooms. So each of the blocks you would get in a Sudoku puzzle is a separate little room. And so you can only see some of the other rooms. They have like weird little rules. And those have been really, really fun. It almost to the point where like I kept thinking about The Witness and how The Witness was this simple idea that they did every iteration on and made it into this big, like really satisfying puzzle game. Those little Sudoku maps are giving me a similar feeling where I feel like a fucking goddamn genius for walking around and noticing that a 5 is missing and being like, aha!
Mr. 5.
But there's a ton in there. It looks like they're regularly adding patches and supporting it, the developers of the game, and putting more stuff. Like they just threw in a Christmas map at, Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you know?
In order to celebrate Australia Day, here we go. It's a Christmas map coming to Escape Simulator.
So yeah,
that sounds cool.
It's a pretty fun game. It's $20, something like that, and
it's less, I think, at the moment. I think it's like $17, which is really good value for how well it's put together.
Yeah, I enjoyed it and think it has just about the right amount of capability as a tool to make your own escape levels that I'm going to keep going in and checking what people have been up to and been making. If you're into puzzle games, Escape Room Simulator is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a chance that Tommy and I, because you've done them all, Knox, maybe we can really frustrate some YouTube viewers at some point by doing a co-op escape room.
I would love to watch that and stop watching it after 4 minutes. Because I cannot bear it.
Maybe we could even just do it. We don't have to do it for a video. We could just do it in our spare time, Ben, and talk about the experience.
True.
Another week. Because I would be keen to do it.
Yeah. Pretty weird.
Every time you talk about one of these escape room games, Knox, I always think like, fuck yeah, I gotta get into some of these. They sound really fun. Especially the VR ones that you've talked about.
Mm.
Seems like a great use of the Oculus headset.
There's so a fair I expect you to die. There's a couple of those, and those are decent as well. Like to the point where people are making like community levels for Escape Room Simulator in the spirit of I expect you to die things. You know, riffing on those ideas.
Yeah, right.
Having a bit of a play with it. You know, just vamping on the
idea.
Oh,
sure. Yeah. Taking it for a walk. It felt very much like it should be played in VR to me. It felt like I was very much wishing I could just be like, oh, I'll reach out and pick that up. I'll put, but it's, it's mouse and keyboard and stuff or controller, I guess. But yeah, it felt like it would be perfectly suited, if not preferable, in VR.
Now, let me correct myself if I am wrong here. but I think it might have VR support, or it might be coming.
Okay.
It does not have VR support currently, I do not think. But
no,
I think it probably it's got to be something that they're looking at, because I agree.
You think surely that'd be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the controls are perfectly fine for what you're doing in it. Like,
yeah,
they take
it
like going into your inventory and opening things and looking at them, like, takes a couple of steps and you've got to get used to it, I suppose. But they've got clever things with the interface where, like, there'll be a little key or whatever if that item is useful, because there is a bunch of junk around, right, like just empty vases and whatever, that the game will let you know, hey, this has nothing to do with it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. True, true, true.
So, yeah.
Are there any, in the community levels, are there any Mario Maker style Rube Goldberg machine escape room levels where you're just on a conveyor belt and it just it sort of solves the escape room for you automatically?
You know what? This might be the first game I've seen with community made levels where I haven't run into that. I haven't run into like Mario 1-1.
That level hasn't been in there from what I've seen.
There hasn't been some way where they figured out how to make like a MIDI version of a Linkin Park song. I haven't come across that yet.
Yeah.
No Shrek? Okay, Shrek in there?
That is a ringing endorsement.
Not yet. Yeah. What the fuck? This is the weirdest online community that I've ever come across.
Seems like sort of mild-mannered, intelligent people who like making puzzles. Weird. Weird.
You know what other group? Can I talk about a second thing? I know I've been talking my fucking lips off here, but...
Oh, brother. What do you reckon, Tommy? Are we going to let him talk about another game? Two in a row?
I get it. Is this the final day of your... being in ISO?
And this
are you
is the,
free tomorrow?
This is so the first day, like, where, you know, I've really felt a lot better too. So
yeah.
I'm ready to just do myself in today and feel much, much worse by the evening.
Great. Hey, happy to sit back.
Talk so much.
I literally haven't played a video game in the past week, I don't think, except for playing Escape Room Simulator specifically like this morning.
Well, let me take the reins on this one then, boys, because I've been taking medicinal cocaine all week, as I've been instructed to by the official government bodies.
It's for my anxiety.
It just reminds, because speaking of like mild-mannered, intelligent online communities, I found one of them who have for years been working on this thing called a Mr. FPGA, which a bunch of people might have heard of and others may not have, as is the way of every concept.
You have heard of it. Tommy and I don't think we have.
No.
Let alone, not even have I just heard of it. I have purchased one from someone in Newcastle.
Whoa. Wow. Newcastle, England, now, or Newcastle, New South Wales?
Newcastle, New South Wales.
Wow.
And he shipped it over here a few weeks ago. I've been mucking around with it.
Okay.
Mr. stands for, like, there's some reason for the name. It's like there was a project called the Mist something. And then there was an E added. But an FPGA, it stands for Fully Programmable Gate Array, I think. And it's basically a type of chip that you can program to pretend as though it's a different computer chip.
Okay.
Meaning that you can, and people have, programmed a bunch of cores for this machine that will tell the machine that it is a Super Nintendo, or it's a NES, or it's a Game Boy, or whatever. And so effectively emulate, but it's not technically emulation, but pretend to be one of those machines well enough that it is virtually indistinguishable from playing a game on that original hardware.
Wow.
Which, cool.
If you know anything about the particular mental illnesses I have, is a very appealing concept to me.
Yeah.
So what the idea is that you would put this chip into a Nintendo 64.
No.
And...
You fucking moron, Tommy. No, it's a separate...
It's like a Pi, Raspberry Pi, right? Like
It's
a small, very small, compact computer that is essentially itself just a little motherboard chip.
Right. It's more similar to that. It's its own little computer. I'm going to show it to you. I'm just unplugging it here. This is what it looks like. It's just like a little fucking blue box is the one I've got.
Okay.
But it is a computer board... that then has a second one attached to it with like USB plugs and extra RAM and stuff like that.
Right.
And with this, you can pretty well get every machine up until like the Sega Saturn or PS1 going.
Okay.
They're working on Sega Saturn and PS1 now. They're not quite done. So everything before that, other than like the 3DO and the CDI, like the more sort of obscure ones, nobody's made those yet. But you can get a Game Boy Advance going on there. There's a whole bunch of shit that you can get running on this thing in... true to the original fashion. The important points of that being that you don't have the same controller lag that you get with emulation and stuff like that. That makes games feel a little muddier and feel different to how you remember them playing on a Super Nintendo or something like that, if you do remember that.
Right.
It's fucking rad, dude.
I can tell you why it's called a Mister. Uh-huh. It's a dumbass reason. So they say originally this was a project, it was based on an older project that was designed to run retro computers like the Amiga and the Atari ST. So of course, if you combine Amiga and Atari ST, you use the Mi from Amiga and the ST from Atari ST and call it Mister.
Right.
Sure, go for it, guys.
I mean,
this is being worked on by the thickest glasses frame nerds in the world.
Yes.
You know, so of course the name is not a marketing department name, but they're very cool. I don't like that is completely a joke in adorational fun.
Yes. Because
this shit is the coolest shit in my opinion. If you're getting one from nothing, if you're just buying the board and putting it together yourself and then getting all the software and doing it yourself, it will take a fair bit of like computer know-how. Mm-hmm. So what I did was found like a pre-made version of it, a pre-made kit from, I was just going to look up the shop on eBay because I had a great experience with them. It was like Newcastle Computer Servicing.
Hell yeah.
I bought this thing from them. It cost the same as a PS5, whatever. but like...
Because this does sound like if you're someone who is just... You're a more casual person and you want to get... You want a way to just play, you know, every Super Nintendo game on your TV or you know, whatever. It sounds like, go the Raspberry Pi route. This sounds like the option for the real heads. The real, like... Deep in the weeds sort of like enthusiast. So if you're someone who you just want to play old games on your telly, this doesn't sound like the thing for you.
100,000%. If you would come across a YouTube video that was titled something like frame delay test original Neo Geo MVS hardware versus Raspberry Pi, and you would think, why would anybody bother uploading that to YouTube? Then do not go anywhere near this because there's no point in it.
Right.
Every computer that you own, the one that's in your pocket, is probably absolutely fine to play virtually every game that this thing is capable of playing in an acceptable format. But this thing is cool if you're a fuckhead because it's got everything that isn't super easy to get hardware for or to get like... flash cartridges or whatever for like there's so many systems that it can do, and those old computers which are even fucking harder to get going properly if you want to have a an authentic experience, and it's very sounds better on vinyl type of attitude, you know.
There are
appreciable differences, but the differences are still minor enough that most people aren't going to give a shit about if they're not there. But like, you can do a pretty accurate, like, 486 DOS computer or, those old Amiga or Atari ST or Commodore 64 or whatever. It is very versatile. Everything's worked pretty well on it. There's only been a couple of games that I've tried out that have had, like, some little weird compatibility issues that have been mostly fixable.
Right.
It does sound like a real vinyl is better mentality in the same sense that, like, I have that mentality. I have a record player, and then... I'm running that record player through a Bluetooth speaker, which compresses the audio again. So it's like, it really like takes that quality like right down to a notch that is like, well, what is the point? So in the same way, it's like a vinyl sounds better thing with this thing. It's like, there's no lag and it's mirroring the hardware, but you are still playing, you know, an old NES game with a Bluetooth Xbox controller.
Right. Like that is very...
You're not being 100% pure.
That is very much the case because you can plug... like a VGA cable into this and put it onto a CRT TV, but then
You know,
you're going to use an HDMI cable probably, which is what I'm doing, which makes it look different enough anyway, and there's filters that can emulate a CRT sort of look, but I don't love them. And then a Bluetooth controller is just a little more convenient to use most of the time, and that it does introduce the same amount of lag that a fucking emulator is going to have.
Right.
It is just a feel thing, though. Like, there's just little tiny quirks that if you played some of these games back in the day, you think you can notice at the very least. I don't know if I am actually noticing anything. I don't know how much of my perception of the world is reality, because it often is proven to be inaccurate by other people. But
everyone has one. Everyone has a thing that they're into that they're just like,
right?
You know, this is that for you. It's like that minutia that like no one else gives a fuck about, but for you, it's like it's a deal breaker. It's like, I know I'm insane. I know this means nothing to anyone else, but for me, it's my thing that is absolutely non-negotiable.
I find it relaxing or something. Like, mm-hmm. I've got every single game for the systems that this thing can do on this fucking thing, and that makes me feel like it gives me the same feeling of like someone who can go off and find their own food in the woods. I feel like I'm okay and I'm on my own and I can just exist here, but I rely on the electricity network. There's no way that this thing would keep me going in an apocalypse situation, but it gives me that feeling for whatever reason.
There's no way you'd last longer than like 48 hours in an apocalypse situation anyway, so
I can get to 72, 96 probably.
Why not enjoy your time pre-apocalypse with almost 100% comprehensive, you know, replication of stuff that you liked when you were a kid.
And
it is like
it's
now.
A really cool, interesting way of doing it as well. Like, just this, the idea that this thing is being programmed to pretend that it's a Super Nintendo rather than kind of guessing at how to recreate those same things like most emulators do. It's just an interesting, cool project, like technologically, I suppose. But
yeah,
it's a lot of fun, and those old games are sick. What have I played? Micro Machines, Metroid 2 on the Game Boy. You cunts played Metroid 2 on the Game Boy lately? Probably not.
No,
I have.
No.
So now who's wasted $750?
You haven't played it on a Game Boy. You've played it on a... That's the most appealing part of it to me, the fact that you're tricking a motherboard into thinking it's something else. That's the bit I really like.
Yeah.
You fucking dumb computer. You don't know what you are.
It's pretty cool. It's like when a duck grows up around dogs and starts barking. You know, you see those videos? It's sick.
Yeah. But it's like, it can bark. The bark sounds exactly like a dog.
Yeah.
If you were around the corner, you wouldn't know that that wasn't a dog.
Yeah. Mm. So if you want to buy this piece by piece, it's like the actual main sort of motherboard itself for it is like a couple of $100 US, it looks
like. Yes, it's called a DE10 Nano. And I don't know what the pricing and the availability sort of stuff with all the shortages and whatever going on at the moment is with this. I have the feeling I was a bit lucky to be able to get this.
Right,
but there are sort of those pre-built options available. Like, this place I got it from, it included an external hard drive with like a bunch of the software and stuff on it. So, it was well put together in like a cool, simple way of doing this absolutely unnecessary and over the top and incredibly pleasing thing.
Mm.
Yes, I have one final question about it.
Mm. Yeah,
is there a Mrs. FPGA?
No. I bet there will be one day.
Okay.
Because I want to fuck this computer. This computer.
With a little bow on top of it. On top of its head. Yeah.
Smash that like stained blue plastic ceiling and get plastic versions of these. But
I'm going to put another chip in it to trick it into thinking that it doesn't have a wedding ring on.
It's potentially a cool little DIY project too if you want to
build
it yourself. And you'll know if this is appealing to you. You know what I mean? Like, if you emulated Donkey Kong Country on a fucking Android phone and had a good time with that, then who's to tell you that you're wrong? Me. You are. No. Every way that you can access a game is equally viable and fine. Like, there's no actual better or worse or whatever. This is just closer to those originals, which means it doesn't have the improvements that a bunch of emulators have. Like, you can get rid of, like, sprite flickering on the NES on an emulator, for example, but this will do it because it was there on the original thing. It makes saving games a little more awkward because a bunch of them don't have save states and stuff like that.
You gotta write down the password.
Yeah, but you gotta get out that little pen and pad and write it down. Just like it was before you learned about the horrors of the world.
Yep, that's what it was back in the day. That's how you did it.
All the games sometimes on this are pre 9/11. It's great. It feels good. Actually, no, there's Game Boy Advance games on here. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. That. Sorry. This Super is your 9/11. Getting that wrong.
No one.
Is your 9/11.
No one playing the GBA in the Shadow of the Towers, famously.
Yes. I've been doing some DIY stuff. I know you didn't put this one together, Noxa, but the idea of it really appeals to me because I have been dipping my toe in the water of a similar sort of like hardcore nerd appreciation thing of mechanical keyboards. I've bought a couple of like the boards itself and then bought different keycaps and switches. But I bought this one. I guess I should spruik it because I love it. It's called Hub 16 and it's by a guy, I think from Geelong, weirdly, called Josh Johnson.
That is weird to be from Geelong.
Well, because I had in my head an idea of what I wanted, which was like a small macro keypad, you know, like a 16 key keypad that had volume dials, because the keyboard I got is like a 75%-ish one, so it's like it's got all the keys you need, but it doesn't have like a volume dial or anything like that or a USB hub. So it's like, I just want this little add-on, you know? It's like a little cool one. I'll have like custom keycaps and like make it look a little bit, you know, like retro sci-fi or something. And I just hunted around the internet and couldn't find the one I wanted, you know? Like a lot of them are kits. A lot of them are sold out. There, a lot of things are available via what they call group buys. So because it's small run productions, they have to get a bunch of pre-orders. And once they've hit the pre-orders, they stop taking orders and then make, you know, like 200 of these things.
Right.
And they have to do all the orders and the 3D printing and laser cutting and stuff. But eventually, I found the one I wanted and it was not available. But I put in my like, put in your email to hear when they're, you know, back up for grabs. And it happened, a couple of months ago. And put in my order. You can customize like the color of like the circuit board, the color of the base plate. They'll chuck in some keys. You can choose the clickiness of the switches. These are all like things that I had to learn what they were and what they meant. And then it got sent to me as a kit, as a bunch of stuff. The guy was like super super nice and friendly and really great to deal with. It seems like a lot of people who are doing this stuff are, because they're really passionate about it and they appreciate other people who are into it. And then I bought a soldering iron and I learned how to solder and I put this shit together. Made a mistake, emailed the guy, he told me what to do, but it feels like grown-up Lego. It feels like really satisfying to have made a piece of technology, like, you know, admittedly with the parts provided, but I fucking loved it. And now it's like programmable. Every single key can be whatever you want it to be. Like I've got a, you know, power shutdown. Photoshop is tied to one key to launch Photoshop. The volume dial is great for like when you're in game, you don't want to have to go tab down to the taskbar. Yeah. There's two dials, so you can make the dial, the other one, like whatever you want, like skip track or like, it's just great. I really, really like it. And specifically this one, it's just called Hub 16. I reckon get around it if you want a little macro keypad.
The progression of us on this podcast going from when we started being like, I've got a Wii U and that's enough for me, to being like, I built a keyboard.
Yes.
I'll quickly pull you up there too, Ben. Grown Up Lego isn't a macro keyboard. Grown Up Lego is actually the Seinfeld Lego. Thanks.
It's just certain kinds of Lego.
Certain sets that require a maturity to appreciate the source material of what you're putting together. That sounds sick. Check out Hub 16. Give Josh a
and
shout out.
This Newcastle, I think, Computer Services, I said it correctly before, was a great place to buy this Mr. Kit.
Fuck yeah.
I honestly thought when you said you'd been dipping your toe in your own kind of DIY projects before as your intro, I honestly thought that was your lead in to our ad for this week. And I was like, wow, this is this is a long bow. My DIY project is putting the head on my Manscaped razor and trimming my pubes.
Well, obviously I've been doing that as well, because as we frequently are, this week we are sponsored in part by the beautiful boys and girls at manscaped.com. They've been providing their awesome, genuinely best in show products for years now. They've got millions of happy, satisfied customers. And
you shave your dog with one of these, they'll be best in show too.
Absolutely.
Don't do it though.
Do not do that.
I don't mean that.
Probably not specifically in the what not to say in the copy, but they'll probably add it after this week. Do not
shave your
dog.
That means we can say it. No, that means we can say it.
So, Cupid works hard in February, which is coming up soon, but our friends at Manscaped are working harder than ever to ensure your Valentine's Day is one to remember. Don't turn this day of romance into Independence Day. Interesting, double meaning. You'd be solo, independent, or disaster. Yeah, 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 okay. It's a disaster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't do that this year. Get in control of your pubes with their Performance Package 4.0. It includes the signature lawnmower that we've all been using on every single part of our body that we can reach. And this February, join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY. It's the same code we've always used, FILTHY, for 20% off and free shipping. Ridiculously good deal.
Yeah.
Smooth-diculously good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Great product.
Rid your dick of unwanted hair.
Have less.
Yes.
Yeah, great product. We all have one. We all use it. We each have our own one that we independent. We don't have one like Bart and his friends splitting the Radioactive Man comic. No, we each have our own. And,
yes.
Personally vouch for them. Great product. They've been supporting the show for a while now. So if you're in the market, support the company that supports this show.
Yeah.
Keeps the lights on in here.
Another one of those being the other sponsor that we are also in part, the second part, brought to you by another product that I use and can vouch for as well, which is NordVPN.
Yes. Mm. You want to watch shit from the UK when you're living in Australia? Get NordVPN.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Do you want to watch a movie on Netflix that's only on the American one for some reason? Get NordVPN.
Well, they announced this week that they're going to make a new Wallace and Gromit film that will be launching on Netflix globally, except for in the UK, where it's going to be on the BBC. So maybe maybe you've cancelled your Netflix subscription.
Yes.
Or you just want to be a real purist. You know, you're watching you're watching an animated film from the UK. Sure. You want to watch it at its spiritual home of the BBC.
Yes. And you live in Argentina, but you're paying your British TV license fees.
Yeah.
So you deserve access to the BBC.
Just for that premium BBC player experience. I love the interface. Netflix, it's too easy to use.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is obviously great content that is for stupid reasons geo-blocked that you will be able to access if you use NordVPN. If you're someone who does business online and you want to make sure you're private and secure, it's a great way to ensure that as well.
And we all do these days.
Yes.
Everyone does business online. You want to be private and secure.
Absolutely.
Damn it, we've got the answer for you. It's NordVPN, idiot. Of course it's still that.
Half the countries around the world are, you know, like unlawfully recording your browsing. Advertisers are, you know, scraping data from you constantly. Use NordVPN to, maintain a safe and private digital experience. So
don't let anybody know you're listening to Filthy Casuals.
You got to hide your shame.
Keep it secret.
If you want to keep it secret, grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/filthy or just use the code FILTHY in checkout when you visit the website to get up to 70% off your NordVPN plan. I believe like if you go a longer plan, you get more off. 70% is the maximum, which is a ridiculous discount and an additional free month. So, it's risk-free. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, but I would be shocked if you wanted to get your money back because like you, Nox, I've been using it for years. It is the premium VPN service as far as I'm concerned. And, they're sponsoring the show, so give them a crack. Support them. And, like I said, it's a really good service for anyone who's spending a lot of time online.
NordVPN. Yeah. I hope they're still sponsoring us when the new God of War comes out, because I reckon we'll have a little bit of fun with that. Speaking of games coming out.
Okay.
There was a whole bunch of news this week again. Like not like the most crazy or interesting stuff in the world, but like it's nice to see those gears start to crank up again and getting back into active the year, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That feeling at the end of January of starting again. I kind of actually really like that feeling of the world kind of churning again.
Yes, me too. You have the break and then you're like, okay, some things are starting to trickle back in. Like for instance, maybe that Steam Deck be coming out in America in a month.
I was just thinking, so yeah, they announced February 25th is when the, I guess, first round of Steam Decks will be going out. I think they're doing it in staggered sort of.
It was in order of how quickly you got in on the pre-order, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And when we were talking about the group ordering and stuff like that, it made me think as well, what the fuck's going on with that Playdate thing, hey?
Oh.
Yeah, it did. They did announce that it was being delayed into just, I think, quarter one this year.
Right.
Is sort of all they said. But it was meant to be, yeah, it was meant to be end of last year. And then they emailed everyone and they put out a big thing where they were like, yeah, just very transparent about what was going on and how they were really bummed. And yeah, I don't think there's any firmer update, but yeah, I believe first quarter of the year was what it got bumped back to.
Right. As long as they're bummed. Well, yeah.
They sound bummed. Mm. They sounded real bummed.
Maybe the better option than a mister for even, you know, for emulating games and stuff. A whole bunch of good things about the Steam Deck, and I'm really excited to see other people getting to have a look at them, I suppose, because there's still no word, I believe, on when Australia is going to be brought into the mix. No.
Which is weird. I mean, yeah, which is weird. It's like being in the early 2000s again, like a thing coming out in another country and there just being no word on exactly when we'll be able to get it and probably like a fair way down the track. It really does feel like, you know, the Nintendo 64 coming out in Japan like a year earlier than it did here. It's like it makes, you know, I get it, but yeah, it's weird because nothing functions that way anymore.
It's pretty strange, and they've been like popping in little updates for like Half-Life 2 and their own Valve games to like change the UI to be a little more Steam Deck functional, I suppose, is the word on that and stuff. But yeah, it's like, it's super close. They've got to be actually building these units by now, you'd imagine, if it's going to people on the 25th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people will get like probably like review outlets will probably start to have full hands-on reviews coming up in the next couple of weeks, probably.
Yeah.
They've also announced a Steam sort of, what do you call it? Kind of like a ranking system for how well things are going to run on the Steam Deck. So there's like a green tick is like, the company, like, it's fully optimized and they've sort of, you know, they'll have like a Steam Deck setting or whatever, and then, you know, all the way down to the rare things that just will not run on it. But yeah, they've got like, it's basically a four tier kind of thing for that'll just kind of show up on the page on Steam.
That's right, so from like, yeah, cool as well, because you'd have to imagine, I'm not a video game developer, I'll admit that finally, but I would imagine that to be able to get that tick, all you've got to do is have a Steam Deck, get your game installed on it, figure out what looks nice, and then upload those settings to Steam, right?
I think a lot of games
will be able to run.
Yeah.
I think what would qualify in the like maybe, you know, touch and go category is things that really rely on a mouse, for example. So like any kind of RTS sort of stuff. I think it's not just factoring in graphical stuff, it's like overall gameplay stuff of like, hey, this probably just isn't gonna really work without having a mouse.
Sure. Or interface stuff, like if a game requires like just functionally, like there has to be stuff up in the top right, top left, bottom, you know, like the screen real estate could be an issue as well readability, right? You can't just make everything smaller because it might become unreadable. But
I think it's just a little thing that they've put in to avoid people, you know, inevitably, you know, not having done their research and thinking like, oh, great, now I've just got this portable thing and I've bought this game and now I'm asking for a refund because it's, you know, it's got lots of small text that I can't see on the Steam Decks.
Yeah.
I think it's just them trying to protect themselves against that kind of stuff. But it's cool that they're... Yeah, it's cool that they're thinking about it, and it's cool that that's starting to be built into the platform. Yeah, I'm really keen to get my hands on one of these, and at the very least, find out when we'll be able to do that. But
yeah,
seems like it'll be a fair way off.
But yeah, like you said, Nox, with reference to emulation, like they specifically say this is just a PC. Like, the Steam store is on there, and that's the way that we, you know, expect that you would use it, given you probably have a big library and all that stuff, but it's just a portable PC, which is great. Like, that is cool.
And that gives you the versatility to be able to use it as complex or as simple of a machine as you like as well, which is really appealing, especially as the Switch with, you know, all this footage of Pokemon, and again, we'll talk more about that next week, having a more powerful handheld, especially for like indie games and stuff like that going forward, some of which even on the Switch, like you can just see stuff starting to really butt its head up against the capabilities of that thing.
Yep.
It's a really good form factor the Switch is, you know, and so the Steam Deck being similar to that, I really like handheld games, and I agree that I'm keen to see how this thing goes. Like getting actual battery life reports from real people,
right?
And like the build quality of it, and just finding out all the bits and pieces is exciting. A lot more exciting to me than the prospect of a Crysis 4.
Yeah, I mean, I love Crysis. I love the series. I really, really, I don't know. I was one of the people who jumped on it. I followed, you know, Crytek from the Far Cry series through to this, and I've always sort of vibed with the way they make games, which is, I don't know, like you almost have like a branching path of like your Halo and your Crysis, and then sort of other, you know, sort of linear-ish FPSs. But I was always a Crysis guy. I liked the powers, and it was always a graphics showcase as well. Like that is essentially what it's known for, solely almost.
Especially that first one for sure. Yeah, because like,
yep.
I don't think I ever played 2 or 3.
Right, right.
That first one I remember enjoying at the time, and then really just it sticks in that point of time in my head.
Right, and right.
So I had no idea that they were working. Is this Crytek again doing 4?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Right. And if it's anything like 2 or 3, I think they kind of stopped focusing as much on being this like sort of trying to be kind of revolutionary graphics thing. They looked good, but they were a lot more just like, hey, here's some more shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose I would expect that to be what this is doing, right?
Probably. I mean, I'm just checking what they've worked on since the last one. So they did Rise, Son of Rome. That was a launch game for the Xbox One.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right.
And then, they did Robinson the Journey, that VR game that was on, it was VR just on Windows and PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Hunt Showdown, which I think is like, is that a co-op online thing?
Yes, and yeah. I've heard that is actually quite good. I've seen people saying that is like secretly a great game.
Right. Oh, and they did this. I know you played this, Tommy. The Climb, the VR game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love The Climb.
So they had sort of, disappeared from relevance, but apparently they've been working on some very, very good VR games, which is cool to know. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what direction they'll take with Crysis 4 if they do try and evolve it in an interesting way. But I'm kind of just happy to play another Crysis game personally.
Yeah, because all they've said at this point is like, hey, Crysis 4 is going to come out later.
Yep.
And all that work on VR, I wonder if this will be a VR thing. Because like if it... is in the vein of a Half-Life Alyx or whatever, and like a game that would be the most interesting thing for me is if they're going, let's do Crysis but make it fully VR right from the bottom up.
Right, that could be
pretty fucking cool, having a big open world like Crysis as a shooter in VR versus the Half-Life Alyx corridors. Be fucking awesome.
And you know, the Crysis, the whole thing was like you're in the suit that can make you invisible or strong. Like being within that and choosing how to play might give it an extra level of sort of interest and engagement.
Yeah. And a little excuse for you to be in this helmet and this visor, and you know, like that could integrate well with the idea of a VR game. So it's cool that I've now set us up to be disappointed for when it's just not a VR game at all.
Yeah. Just a new shooter with good graphics.
Yeah, that's probably all we'll get. Another thing we'll keep getting is Call of Duty on PlayStation until at least the next 2, I suppose, if they're saying 2023.
Yeah, which,
you know, you'd assume there's another one this year and then the year after.
Yep.
Which it's cool and interesting seeing the particulars of this Activision Microsoft thing come out. It was the thing that seemed to be indicated right away is that like our Activision games will still come out on PlayStation.
Yeah.
It'll be fascinating to see for how long, because even this reporting is still like, the next couple will, we'll honor existing contracts and da-da-da. You'd imagine that both of them are already under development, and so those contracts may have already been drawn up, which could be part of why they're saying these specific ones are coming out then. Who knows? But yeah, Call of Duty still on PlayStation for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It has been a bit like, we're going to be friendly in the way we word this, but we're going to word it very carefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we are separating because our lives have moved in different directions, but we're still very much in a type of love.
Yes. It's a conscious uncoupling. It's not a divorce. Oh. But it is a divorce.
You're not a fucking train. You're divorcing. You're not uncoupling.
We've gone down and filed for a divorce.
And something else to do with Activision Blizzard I thought was worth mentioning. We don't do a lot of serious stuff on here. Certainly, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that I think we talked about with Ben Russell that we just have decided to skirt around. But something that I think has become a huge issue in the past 6 to 12 months is workers' rights within the gaming industry. And specifically, you know, there's a lot of contract workers, obviously, but Activision Blizzard have been working against, it seems like, a union organization movement for their QA workers. Like, these people are, you know, they're almost like the factory line workers of the gaming world. They do heaps of sort of repetitive and, not particularly interesting stuff to make sure games work. They're bug-free and they're the fun experiences that we all get to have with them. And they've just been trying to unionize. And it sounds like fucking dodgy Activision Blizzard are like, we're restructuring the way we approach QA to make it more good. But in reality, it just means they're changing the designation of QA workers so they can't band together, it sounds like, which fucking sucks.
And this is completely from memory, from an article from a few weeks ago, so it's almost definitely wrong, but I believe they hired the same union-busting firm that Amazon did. You know, it's like the top-tier union busters, if that's the case.
Totally.
If it's the one Amazon would trust to deliver results. There's a bunch of stories that have come out about Activision. You're right that we touched upon a few of them last week, the more horrendous ones to do with sexual assault and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, workers' rights stuff like this, we've been talking about it for fucking years since, like, I feel like it heated up quite a bit around, like, Red Dead 2 and stuff coming out.
Yep.
And things around crunch and stuff like that, and all these companies saying, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of that, we'll do better. And it doesn't seem like that's been the case.
No,
there's been a whole bunch of walkouts and strikes and stuff like that at Activision Blizzard over the last few months, and rightly so, because they are putting them under unfavorable working conditions. So that's what you do. You use what leverage you have to try and improve that situation.
Yes.
And then in the middle of all of that and this merger bringing to the front again all these issues with workers' rights and to do with, like, harassment and stuff in the company.
Yep.
Blizzard were like, we're working on a new survival game in a brand new world. It's the first original IP since Overwatch, everybody. Hooray!
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool, guys. You know what?
It probably did distract a bunch of people who would have been reading about that union busting stuff.
Right. Maybe, right.
It's such a vague announcement, and so without, like, you know, there's no trailer and there's not much substance to any of the stuff they've really said about it. They're like, survival game, new world is pretty much all they've said. That it really does feel like people going, like, what do we got? What do we got to fucking just put over the window?
Yes. So
people can't see in.
Yeah. No, totally.
Cool. Good for them.
Good for
them. Well, a more feel-good story that came from where we all get our video games news from, Men's Journal magazine.
Yes.
An interview with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who has this to say.
Oh, it's weird hearing it that way around. The Rock Dwayne Johnson made me feel really...
Well, he sort of never goes by The Rock anymore, so you got to... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He said this, I can't tell you which game in particular we're doing, but there will be an announcement this year. We're going to bring one of the biggest, most badass games to the screen, one that I've played for years. Mm. I'm really excited to bring it to fans around the world. Of course, we're going to do right by our gamer friends, but really... we're just going to make a great movie. So he said that he's in a video game adaptation, but he is not saying what it is. He's just teasing it.
The last one he was in was Rampage, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So he's done it before.
Yep.
And being in one of the most badass games, what would The Rock consider to be? Honestly, when you read it out for some reason, I was imagining him thinking of Duke Nukem.
Same. Yeah. Once you once you say it like that, and because it's also, it can't just be like saying one of the biggest, most fun games. It's like, it's got to be, well, what would he be in?
Yes.
You know, what's a character that he would play?
One that I've played for years as well. Like The Rock saying that he's played it and for years. Oh, maybe this is an adaptation of WWF WrestleMania for the N64.
Oh, sure,
and The Rock's going to be wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, it's like you read that quote and I'd say Doom, but he's...
Right.
Oh,
he's
shit,
already done a Doom adaptation. Especially with the more recent ones, you would think like, yeah, big badass games. He's been playing, you know, he's played the last two, but...
I could see this being Grand Theft Auto.
Ooh.
I think, because if I'm imagining The Rock playing a game, the only one I can picture him playing is Grand Theft Auto.
You know what? It could be a fucking Call of Duty movie.
It could be.
Right? Like, that is one foreseeably that someone like The Rock would have played. It is huge. It is badass.
Biggest and most badass.
It's never been taken to the screen.
Yeah,
and
I guess
it's badass. I could see fucking The Rock and John Cena or something being in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's something of that ilk, right? Like, it's going to be one of those big... Because Rampage was fucking weird that got turned into a movie. So
yeah.
It could be that it's like fucking... What is like the Guilty Gear or something like that? Like some old arcade. I mean, they're still making Guilty Gear games, but like, it could really be anything.
I'm gonna Google most badass video game and see what
I'm thinking it's a shooter. It's got to be some form of shooter
for it to be badass. No, it's definitely an action game, right?
Yeah,
it's not Final Fantasy. The Spirits Within 2.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. I don't know if this totally fits, but so Watch Mojo has got a list of the top 10 games that make you feel like a badass.
Okay.
I guess those would be badass games, though.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel like a badass in a game that isn't itself badass.
Absolutely not. No way that's going to happen. Number one is Doom. So, unfortunately, it's already been done. Already had The Rock in it. Number two is...
Fantastic results.
Absolutely. Hey, you can listen to our commentary of Doom the movie on our Bandcamp, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com. Minimum donation / purchase price of $1. Star Wars The Force Unleashed is number two.
Okay.
I don't know why. Maybe this list came out in, 2017 or something.
There was a time when getting to use the Force was, a lot more of a novelty than a world where
you feel like a badass because you're swinging the thing around. Yeah.
Well, and there's three more Star Wars games from Respawn coming later. We'll talk about that in a second after this Rock thing. Maybe some more Force.
He's not going to be in Bayonetta 2. That's number three on the list.
I doubt it. They'd start with Bayonetta 1 at least.
Very true. Metal Gear Solid. He's not Solid Snake. In fact, that's already being made, isn't it?
Exactly, Oscar Isaac is in that.
Yes. Just Cause?
Oh, it's not one of the biggest. It's badass, but it's certainly not big.
It's badass, I could see him playing the protagonist of Just Cause.
Sure.
Because also, it's like this is a quote that's designed to pump up interest in the film.
Mm.
So it's like, of course he's saying... Of course, he's probably being hyperbolic when he says it's the biggest game. It might not literally be, a Grand Theft Auto, like the highest grossing game. Like he's trying, like in his head, it's like, I also think he could just mean biggest in terms of like scope of the game. It's like a big badass game, which would just mean open world, like you're
PUBG.
Flying around, like
Well, I wonder because I take The Rock at his word when he says that he's been playing it for years. I don't think The Rock seems like the type to lie about that.
It has to make sense timeline-wise, at least, right? Like, it's not a new game, essentially. It's an older franchise, at least, a decade or something.
And I think for The Rock to have had enough, he's about grind. He's about power. He stays hungry and he devours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him to have had the spare time to play a game, it's got to be more than certainly 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's spending his downtime... since becoming a movie star, playing anything. I reckon he's a big use every second of the day type of guy. So
sure. Like Mark Wahlberg, he wakes up at like 5 a.m. every day or something, and just
Where's
Donnie? He says that every morning.
Hey, hey, Kratos, what do you think about this? God of War.
Well, if we
God of War is also on this list.
Oh, you know what?
If it's God of War,
yeah,
it's God of War pretty fucking well.
2005 yeah. is around the time when I'm thinking of the kind of cutoff of,
yep.
And I could see The Rock going like, yeah, man, this is bad. Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be Kratos, hey.
That's it.
He could do some of the, you know, the pathos and the seriousness of Kratos if he wanted to. Like he does.
Who knows
if
pathos will be in it as well, though. There's a number of Greek gods who you could have.
Maybe the sequel. Yeah, maybe the sequel. Yeah. You're right.
Because we're also assuming that he's the lead in this, but he potentially might not be. He could be, because I'm thinking, like to go back to our first guess of Duke Nukem.
Yes.
It's like, he doesn't quite aesthetically fit. He's not like, I can't see him putting on like a mohawk wig to play.
Yeah, right. Going blonde, going full blonde.
I just can't really see it. So but I think like, yeah, Kratos is like the most fitting like aesthetic if we're assuming he's the lead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, he played Hercules in that Hercules movie, right? So
Which wasn't half bad. I actually thought it was a pretty fun sort of, you know, adventure.
He could be being Hercules showing up in God of War.
Oh, the cinematic universe of ancient Greece.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that would make sense. It's like if the second one is still meant to come out this year,
yep.
That's good timing for them to announce, hey, there's going to be, you know, that all makes sense of them trying to capitalize on the big renewed interest in God of War this year.
Mm-hmm. It's big.
It's probably God of War, hey.
It's a big badass game. And badass really encompasses the older ones as well, because they were more like just like, yeah, fucking swinging shit around and killing demons and stuff.
Kratos fucks, yeah.
Although The Rock does not fuck. He's never romantic in any movie he's ever been in. He's just too big.
No, yeah. He's got too many. He rock climbs instead of fucking. He like punches a brick.
Yep.
I just love the quote of... Of course we're going to do right by our Game of Friends. But really,
our
we're
Game
just
of Friends.
Make a great movie.
Yeah. Our it's podcast like... should be called Our Game of Friends.
Yeah.
Please.
But it's so funny
Some
because
of my
it's
best
like
friends
he's...
are gamers, all right? So I know what I'm talking about.
He really is trying to have his cake and eat it too with that quote. It's you know, we're not going to disrupt the source material. Don't you worry about that. When but also, we really just want to make a good movie. We don't really give too much.
The phrase, I will correct you quickly. The phrase when you're talking about The Rock is having your 4 roast chickens a day and eating them too.
Sorry.
God of War is a pretty good guess that I could see happening. So, yeah. Because remember, there was like new stuff about Sony wanting to get in more movies out there. They're putting Uncharted out in just a minute. So, it all
and
fucking fits.
At that CES thing, they did mention, right, that there was more movies on the cards, like quite specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to say, was if you wanted to really go a full beautiful mind on this to try and work out what he's talking about, at that CES thing, Tom Holland talked about how he really got into the Uncharted games was when he was doing the Spider-Man movies, which, of course, they're made by Sony. And so Sony decked out his trailer with a PS4 Pro and all the games and everything.
Yep.
So for The Rock to say he plays it a lot, he works so much that you would have to assume that that's happening on set. So you could try and work back and go, okay, how many Sony pictures has he been in? You know what I mean? Is he in a Tom Holland position where they're like, they're kitting him out with the God of War, the full kit out in the trailer?
Okay. What movies did The Rock make in 2005, 2007, and 2010?
It could be recent. It doesn't have to be. But like, I'm just looking up Sony pictures that include Dwayne Johnson. Jumanji. The Jumanji movies were made by Sony.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's on location.
Yep.
Lots of downtime in the trailer. Lots of setup time for all the effects and stunts and all that kind of stuff. Stands to reason that he's got the PlayStation there. They've given him the PlayStation. So for him to be sinking a lot of time into anything, it's a fair assumption that it's a Sony game. And for him to be saying that there's this like personal attachment to it.
Holy
and he's
shit.
In the Sony family.
The Rock was in Be Cool, but he was only a small part in Be Cool.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So he would have had a little bit of downtime.
Yep.
Be Cool was produced by MGM. So never mind.
Okay, okay. But timing-wise, you know, he's hanging around on set. He's got time to kill.
The game plan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which was produced by... Let me have a look here.
Yes.
You got to look these up before you read them out.
Walt Disney Pictures.
Okay.
Okay.
That
okay.
came out yeah. in the same year as God of War 2.
Yeah.
But okay. right after God of War 1 came out,
yes.
The Rock was in a movie called Gridiron Gang.
Yes.
Right?
This is
and
coming
that
for
movie
me, yes.
was produced by, or distributed by, it was produced by Columbia Pictures and distributed yep. by Sony Pictures.
Columbia Pictures, go. A subsidiary of Sony.
There you go.
Yeah.
PlayStation, you go. A subsidiary of Sony.
Oh, yep. One of the most famous subsidiaries.
The Rock was playing God of War on set for Gridiron Gang, and now, yep. fucking 16 years later,
yep.
he's going to be Kratos.
Absolutely.
We called it. If it happens, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I think it is. I think it's going to happen. You're right.
That's a good fucking guess.
Duke Nukem is the perfect property to turn into a movie now because of the sort of nostalgia factor. It would appeal to people our age, essentially people with buying power and free time. But
you'd undercut it, right, and cast like Jay Moore or something as fucking Duke Nukem, all like sloppy and washed
yeah.
up. And Yeah.
Kratos. The Rock as Kratos, I should say. We've called it. We've predicted it here.
Damn.
I'd love to know if there's a similar quote like this out there from before he'd officially announced what Rampage, like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If there's a quote of him like hyping up, you know, right. a video game adaptation that he's doing. And it turns out to be Rampage. If he said basically the same thing like 4 years ago, we're
right.
going to be
like, he said
idiots.
Like, that kind of dog shit arcade thing that was ported to everything in like 97.
Of course we're going to do right by our Game of Friends. But really, we just want to make a pretty average movie.
But you're right, Tommy. If he said the exact same thing about Rampage, then we could be getting like Cops and Robbers
Centipede.
On the Atari as the
yeah.
new rock right. movie or something. Yeah.
Elevator action.
Yes.
Paperboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Paperboy would be cool.
I would love a Paperboy movie. Not with The Rock, but with someone
no,
else.
No, with The Rock.
Okay.
With The Rock pretending he's a little kid.
Tiny, tiny bike, but big The Rock. Oh,
great. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm in.
That'd be sick.
In.
One last little thing from
yep.
this week as well is Respawn announced they're working on 3 Star Wars games, Respawn being the Titanfall and the Apex Legends and the Jedi Fallen Order people. So
yes,
and one of those three is the sequel, right? That
yes,
officially...
it is. Yep. Oh, and one of the other ones is an FPS and one of the other ones is a strategy game.
Oh, so they actually... cool, I thought that was speculation, but they did say those are the three and those are the types.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
I'll just double check the article that I wrote.
No, you're right, yeah. So,
yeah, okay.
The strategy game is being co-developed with BitReactor, which is a new studio that has a bunch of people from the XCOM and Civilization games from Firaxis.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that's not a bad, you know, group of people to have in your strategy game room.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then the shooter is being directed by the guy who... was the director, a guy called Peter Hirschman. He directed Medal of Honor Above and Beyond, which was the VR game. And he worked on the original Battlefront games and The Force Unleashed. And I heard good things about that Medal of Honor VR game. I never got around to trying it out, but I heard that it was decent. So
yeah, okay.
And I liked Jedi Fallen Order, and there's definitely room for an improved sequel there. There's some... technical stuff and some bits and pieces of, like, you know, first outing that I think they'll be able to clean up. So all three of those could potentially be pretty cool.
Yeah. Star Wars movies bad, games good.
Generally pretty good.
God of War, games good, movie bad, I assume.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I want to keep an open mind about The Rock as Kratos.
Boy. I can't do a Rock impression.
No. It's, yeah. It's
hey, nice to see you. Something like that. He's like kind of smarmy. Hey, boy. Great. Stay a fan, boy. All right.
That's not bad, actually. Yeah, the actions too. Yeah.
Oh wait. You're a god. And I haven't met you yet, so this is me as The Rock, as Kratos, meeting you, a new
Do you want me to say
god.
Hello? Do you want me to
a
say
Greek
hello?
God. Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, hi there. You must be a new god. What's your name?
It
doesn't matter what your name is. That's a thing that we're used to.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. That's enough.
that'll be fun. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
For another week. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking Pokemon Legends Arceus. I'm also currently playing through Majora's Mask for the first time. So maybe I'll share some thoughts about that next week.
Hell yeah.
But I am really enjoying it. Spoiler. Thanks very much for listening. You can go to filthycasuals.com.au to find the links to our Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode of the show every week, where we do pop culture stuff that's not video games. We talk about movies and TV shows and whatnot. Get on there. Get on the Bandcamp, where you can get our premium episodes, where we do deep dives into franchises and different developers and all that sort of stuff. Lots of fun on there. Lots of extra content for you also on the YouTube channel. Got so much stuff that you can engage with if you choose to. We also all have comedy festival shows that are on sale now. My show is called Turtle Island. It's going to be on in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, and it's meant to be on in Perth, but I'm probably not going to be able to get in because of the border situation, but there's no official date of when that's happening. So I'm just leaving tickets on sale. If you feel lucky, you can buy one and you'll still be able to come when I reschedule it. But that's all up on TommyDasilo.com right now.
And
you guys have your show Chimp Cop that is on in the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes, just head to comedyfestival.com.au, put in Chimp Cop or Imposter Syndrome, which is the name of the show. It's a sci-fi comedy, I guess.
A sci-fomedy. We say for short.
Yeah, we do say that.
Makes everyone confused every time.
Yeah. Was there anything else that I wanted to mention? No, I don't think so. Thanks to Manscaped and NordVPN for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy.
Can you smell what Kratos is swinging, eh? He's got those swingable blades. Little twist.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.